We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Crisafo and Horowitz are back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. Caserta will have another update here in less than 27 minutes. Big buzz with college football today. Final Saturday, final weekend of the regular season. Notre Dame, as Caserta said, looks like they're a lock. They finish 12-0. They hold off USC 24-17. Alabama, I think, is a lock no matter what they do against Georgia in the SEC title game. Clemson, if they beat Pitt, they're in. And then the debate, if Alabama, Clemson both win their conference championship games, ND would be the third team in. Will it be Oklahoma if they beat Texas and they win the Big 12 championship? Will it be Ohio State, who put 62 on number 4 Michigan today? And then they beat Northwestern, who would be close to a top 15 team in the Big 10 championship game next Saturday in Indy. What about UCF? Undefeated, but a resume that their strongest win is Cincinnati? Yeah, I love an undefeated underdog story. But they haven't beat any big boys. That's why it'd be nice to see a 18 playoff. So you tell me, because LSU was 7, even with 2 losses, and they get beat in 7 overtimes tonight in College Station, Texas, 74-72. You know, you think about it, if West Virginia would have won that game last night, Washington State got beat in that snowstorm by Washington. Ohio State, if Maryland gets that 2-point conversion just a little over a week ago in College Park, Maryland, how different that top 10 could be right now. And it would have strengthened the case of Central Florida. So you tell me, who's deserving of that 4th spot if UCF, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all win their conference championship games next week? And then I talked about Notre Dame. Not that they get a free pass. They've earned their 12-0 mark. I believe they've earned their spot in the Final Four. Their defense is fantastic. Their receivers are strong. Book has been amazing. Brian Kelly has stepped back and calmed down, and the team has bought in. But I do believe it's unfair for a team to have to play a conference championship game to see if they're in, like a Clemson. But Notre Dame doesn't have to play a conference championship game. I think they should play 13 games, an independent, to be in line with other teams that would have to play 13 to get in. But then some would argue, okay, well, what if a team's 11-1 and they don't get to their conference championship? They didn't play 13. So the argument's there, but I'm asking you what you think. Is it fair? Should Notre Dame have to join a conference to be a part of the college football playoff? And then off of that LSU-Texas A&M 7 overtime masterpiece, what sport, any sport, high school, college, or pro, that has the best way to decide a game in overtime or extra time? What sport is it? You can join us at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. End of this broadcast, we'll also deliver the Huge Four in the NFL, my top 4 teams, but there's not a lot of drama. I was talking with my son Ace, who's 12 and a huge football fan, and he plays tackle football, and I said, all right, New Orleans 1, Rams 2, Chiefs 3. Is it Steelers 4, Chargers, Patriots? I don't think there's a big list to choose from. By the way, the talk that the Niners offered more for Khalil Mack to the Raiders than the Bears did, there was no way that the Raiders were going to trade Mack to the Niners. No way. And I'm trying to figure out what John Gruden's doing, because I watched Amari Cooper on Thanksgiving, and what a boost he's given the Cowboys' offense. Remember, just before they traded for Amari Cooper, well, you know, I don't know, Dak Prescott is going to be a franchise NFL QB. Yeah, quarterbacks don't throw to themselves. You need separators, guys who can get away from frontline DBs, and Cooper is amazing. Khalil Mack and Cooper, and you're John Gruden, and you didn't want to build around those two in Oakland. What were you thinking? And my huge opinion before this hour is over on the controversy that a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, that cartoon classic, is racist because Franklin sits on one side of the table by himself in a rickety chair. That huge opinion on Thanksgiving weekend before we are done. If you want to join us live with your huge opinions, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227 at Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Jeff in Michigan. Thanks for the wait, and you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill. It's actually John from Traverse City. I'm a regular caller to your show in Grand Rapids, and this is the first time I've been able to get your weekend show, so I haven't been able to sleep because of watching the Michigan debacle today. But I'm in favor of anything that makes the playoff expand to eight teams. I don't think Ohio State should get in because they got slaughtered by Purdue, and Notre Dame beat Purdue. And I think you have to, if you, basically the tournament started today, you know, the playoff championships of Michigan losing, you know, the loser there would have advanced, or the winner would have advanced to the Big Ten and so on, knocking them all. Any way you can expand, get this 18 playoff sooner and quicker, I'm in favor of that.
All right.
I'm in favor of putting UCF as the fourth team right now because they're undefeated. Just to make the Big Ten mad, because they didn't get a team in, make the Big 12 mad because they didn't get a team in and make the Pac-12. Therefore, they'd have to come to some agreement when only two of the conferences would be represented.
All right. Well, I appreciate you listening in Michigan, John. Thank you for the call. And if you look at it, what an 18 playoff would look like, if, well, let's say tomorrow was Selection Sunday, you'd have Alabama as the one seed, Clemson the two, Notre Dame the three. You would have, you know, Georgia, but again, with the conference championship games, they would be in, Oklahoma in, winner of Ohio State, Northwestern, you know, make your conference championships worth something. Those five winners get in. Two at-large spots, which could include Notre Dame if they have a 12-0 season like they're having. And then the eighth spot, as I mentioned last week, would be from the so-called mid-majors, the non-Power 5 conferences, if somebody was ranked in the top 15, the highest-ranked team from the American Conference, MAC, any of those conferences, that the highest-ranked team, which could be a Utah State, let's say, and they're trailing Boise State right now, that team would get in. Then you have eight. And if you go down through the top eight right now, you're getting to two lost teams, which gives a lot of teams hope if they play a tough schedule that, hey, we lost two, we're 10-2, but we still have a shot at getting an at-large berth. And then you make your conference championships worth even more. And then you still can expand, you know, and you keep the good old boy network with the bowl system, and you use some other venues that are high-quality bowl games as your playoff venues. There you go. And everybody wins. And you do eight teams. And if you added a game right now and the championship is January 14th instead of January 7th, are you really hurting the sport, the players, the schools? No. So you just add a week. your championship week. And I know you say, well, it's a wear and tear on these players. Hey, man, these dudes are training year-round right now. College football is basically the NFL. And if you're going to do it the right way, because there will be a good one-loss team left out, if not two, if not an undefeated Central Florida. But again, when you look at when you look beyond the fact that Central Florida is undefeated, their quality win this year is Cincinnati. Ohio State just beat number four Michigan. Northwestern was 19. I assume they'll bump up, let's say, to 15, 16. If they beat them in the Big Ten championship, and they also won at number 12 Penn State, that's a pretty good resume in that debate. Oklahoma, they don't have a bad loss, and I think that's why Ohio State has stayed at 10, because they got drilled by 29 by Purdue, a team who is not in the playoff rankings. That's what's holding them back. That's what could keep them in that debate if it's Big 12 champion Oklahoma, if they beat Texas, and Big 10 champion Ohio State, is the fact that Oklahoma's only loss was to Texas. They avenged that loss in the Big 12 championship game, and Ohio State still has that 29-point loss to Purdue, but then they threw 62 on the top-ranked defense in America. 62. Urban Meyer. 62. And some think he's still going to be pushed out at the end of this year. Mm. 62. Rivalry game. Your team was lucky to survive Maryland. Now you're a win away from being Big Ten champions. And in a legitimate conversation for college football's Final Four again for the Buckeyes, with everything they've been through, I'll take your huge opinions at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, I'll read tweets before the end of the hour. And also Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Horowitz and Graceffo are back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. Caserta will have another update in less than 10 minutes. Huge questions of the night that you can answer. If UCF wins their conference championship game against Memphis and they're undefeated, and Oklahoma avenges their loss with revenge against Texas, and they win the Big 12 with one loss. And Ohio State, who put up 62 on number four Michigan today, if they would beat a top 20 team in Northwestern in the Big 10 title game next Saturday in Indy, and they would have one loss, who deserves that fourth and final spot if Alabama and Clemson win their conference championship games? Because I believe Notre Dame is a lock now for the Final Four at 12-0 after beating USC in Los Angeles. And should Notre Dame be required to join a conference if they want to partake in future Final Fours? And then with that epic, historic 74-72 Texas A&M college football win over LSU in seven overtimes, what sport that you've been to in person or you watch on TV, high school, college, or pro, that has the best way of settling a game in overtime or extra time? You can voice your opinions and answer those questions at 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227 at Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's travel to beautiful Boston, Massachusetts. And Mark has been hanging around for a while. Appreciate your patience, and you're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
How you doing, buddy?
What I'm doing great. Just got to enjoy the, not really enjoy, but I got to enjoy some time with my grandfather, Sergeant Mike Riley. He actually graduated Michigan in 47, and he went on to be a grad assistant, and actually he was a scout for many, many years, some of those under Bo Schembechler. And, you know, I'm watching the game with him. We've got our Saugus swings. We got a buddy of his who he has a hard time getting contact with, Andy Wong. And we're watching the game, and some of the decisions that I saw the coach for Michigan, I'm forgetting his name for a second. Anyway, some of the
Jim Harbaugh.
He made, like Jim Harbaugh, you know, we're watching, and my grandfather, we call him Sarge, he's watching, and he's going, and, you know, every time there's a mistake, I think after a timeout, there was a delay of game penalty. And I mean, that's inexcusable. And frankly, my grandfather, after each game, he does a, what we've come to call a Sarge salute, after the game, win or lose. And it was the first year we've seen that. And he refused to do, you know, the Sarge salute. And, you know, he didn't finish any of his Saugus wings. We got teriyaki and sweet and sour. He didn't want either. And so, yeah, it's just kind of a sad thing to see. And I guess my comment is, you know, it's not really a rivalry anymore. I mean, Ohio State has dominated, and, you know, it's tough to call it a rivalry at this point. I'll take your thoughts off the air.
Thank you, Mark, in Boston, and I appreciate your family story. Ohio State has owned the Michigan rivalry, and Michigan, under Harbaugh, hasn't done anything against their rivals. They were 1-2 this year, lost to Notre Dame. They didn't look prepared for that game, and they didn't look prepared, shockingly, did not look prepared, motivated, excited, or had any strategy to their game plan, either before or during. And matter of fact, Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback, said he was licking his chops, could not wait after watching film that him and the Ohio State players knew they could tear apart the Michigan defense, even though with all the statistical numbers and being ranked number one. South Carolina football player said the same thing after the Outback Bowl last year. It's not 1985 with Jim Harbaugh. What Harbaugh needs to do, and Brian Kelly did this where he backed off, I think, on calling the plays and brought in a coordinator. Jim Harbaugh needs to do that. Go get Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech. Run that offense. Run the spread. You can't defend it. You can't. You've had trouble with it. Back-to-back weeks with Indiana, Ohio State. Look at what Ohio State is doing. And don't be stubborn. And go hire a former head coach or somebody that comes in that understands that speed on offense and speed on defense. Building up strength, big boys up front who block, big defensive linemen who clog holes for DBs who are blitzing or a linebacker who's coming through the gap. And understand that's what will win. The visual of looking at the Ohio State athlete today compared to the Michigan athlete is the same way when you look at Alabama and you marvel that they look like NFL players. And that's what Ohio State had today. Now, what's the process when they come out of high school? They're 3, they're 4, they're 5 stars, and Jim Harbaugh has been recruiting coast to coast and landing some of the biggest names. So you ask yourself, if those names aren't stepping up in big games, is it on the player? Is it on the coach or coaches, including assistants? I think it's a combination of both. And there is a visual when you can look at Clemson. I look at the Notre Dame defense. I look at their receivers. Ohio State today, Alabama against Auburn. You can look where you see a team is just loaded with athletes, and that's a combination of strength and speed. That's where the game is at today. And if you want a seat at the big boy table, you had better maximize your speed and your strength on offense defense and on special teams. If you don't, you can have your nice 9-3, 10-2 seasons. You'll end up in a bowl game, and you'll sell your fan base that next year will be our year. Well, Urban Meyer hit the ground running from game one at Ohio State. And through his faults, through his whining, through not believing him, the dude can coach. Jim Harbaugh needs to adjust. He's not part of the Bo era. He played in that era, but we're, what, a little over a month away from 2019, not 1985. And there are other programs that we've watched. Penn State was going down that path with the late Joe Paterno. Franklin modernized. Bill O'Brien started it, but Franklin took it to the next level. Look what they did last year with Saquon Barkley. They were potential national championship material. Saban has the blueprint. But, man, you need, you know, Clemson went and believed in a freshman quarterback. Dabo made that call in season. Oh, what are you doing with Brian? Jim Harbaugh's got to step up. I get he gets a free pass because he played at Michigan and the Harbaugh name is his big in Ann Arbor right alongside Bo. But you have got to beat your rivals. And it's not necessarily that you have to win every game against them, but you have to compete and you have to finish. And you have to take it deep into games at home and on the road. And I've told everybody who's ever listened to me on the radio in my 6-plus years, that champions in any sport are born on what they do on the road. That's when you become a big boy program, high school, college, or pro. What do you do on the road? And Jim Harbaugh in his 4 years at Michigan, his two biggest road wins are against a 3-9 Michigan State team and a 7-5 Michigan State team this year. That doesn't cut it if you want a seat at the championship table.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Bill Huge Simonson.
Graceffo and Horowitz are back at CBS Sports Radio, New York City. Zach Gelb, is Zach up in 20 minutes?
He is.
All right. Zach will be live all across North America, the Bon Jovi of CBS Sports Radio, a millennial on a mission. Did Mraz get some more shows with the holiday weekend? He was upset about the Mike Posner guy with the Thanksgiving Day game. I follow him on Twitter. Did he get a couple of shows, too?
He did.
Wow. He's doing a good job. He's angry, though. That's good.
I'd characterize it as whiny more so than angry.
Yeah. Even though that, you know, the guy singing a ballad, Dead and Buried in Detroit, with the way the Lions were playing that day and how their season was bearing. I don't get excited about who the halftime show is. I don't pay attention to halftimes. I don't. Yeah, it's like, you know, college football today, halftime for me is catching up on the phone, going to the John, grabbing food, a beverage. That's how I roll. You're at a sports bar, do you watch a halftime? Do you care who's playing? It's like the Super Bowl halftime. Yeah, if you get the Stones or something really cool, or Prince or Bruno Mars, yeah, it's going to be Maroon 5. Who cares? Who cares? Nobody does. They try and draw other people in because they know the sports fans aren't watching. Graceffo and Horowitz, you guys are diehard sports fans. When was the last time you sat through a halftime show on TV?
It's been a while, Bill, but I saw Meghan Trainor the other day. That was a good time.
Meghan Trainor?
Yeah, she did the halftime of the Cowboys Redskins game. That was a good time.
See, you sound a little weird there.
You're getting it.
You know I'm getting it. I know where you're going, Graceffo, which If you keep going, a judge is going to issue a protective order.
It's 1:43 Eastern. Nobody's coming after
me. I watched. I'm asking a question like, no, I haven't watched a halftime like in 8 years. And Graceffa goes, yeah, I did on Thursday with Meghan Trainor. I have photos of her all up in my Meghan Trainor room.
I do. How'd you know?
He DVR'd it so he can watch it back a couple more times, too.
She was wearing like an Emmett Smith jersey. It was a good look.
Here's Keith Morrison. Now let's welcome back to Dateline. Stories Uncovered. Here's Keith Morrison about a man from a borough in New York. Ah, James Graceffo. He was just a Saturday night producer. But then he watched Meghan Trainor on a Thursday holiday football game. And he followed her for the next 11 years.
Those things really happen, Bill. It's scary, you know?
Ah, life of a producer. that Keith Morrison guy cracks me up. He goes, ah, a small little hamlet by Cape Cod. Little did the residents know that a murder factory was right next to the ice cream and crab shop. I will give you my opinion on the controversy. This is where America's at, folks. There's a legitimate outcry about the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving cartoon / TV show. There are claims of racial overtones or racism because of Franklin, who ironically Charles Schulz, who developed, you know, the Peanuts characters and Charlie Brown in the middle of real racism in America in the 60s, introduced Franklin as one of the only black character. But then there's an outcry that he's on one side of the table and the white people or people of other skin colors are on the other side. And there's an outcry that the dog, Snoopy, is having to cook. So it could be forced labor with an animal. Yeah. Okay. Sure. We do have our huge questions of the night. I don't even know if I'm going to deliver a huge opinion on that because it drives me nuts that you can read anything into a cartoon. So, remember the Cosby Kids, a cartoon? How many white kids were in that? Do I care? No. Did I watch that growing up on Saturday mornings? Yes. My Lord. Well, people have a lot of time on their hands. They do. They have too much time. Charlie Brown, did anybody ever look at Charlie Brown on any level? I'll tell you what, I think Charlie Brown, with the way Lucy would pull that football out, that there was a young boy being denied a chance to kick that football because he's a man. Oh, you know what? Give me a Thanksgiving table. Nothing against Franklin, who gets the rickety chair on his own side of the table. Give me a Thanksgiving table where I got all the space, where I got the whole side of a table by myself, where I have arm room, leg room, and everybody's packed in on the other side. I would take that holiday table any day of the week. I would. Oh, my Lord. Charlie Brown cartoons. That there's racial, you're sending messages based on where one of the characters was seated. Are you kidding me? That's where we're at in this country. God bless America. And God bless the Peanuts characters. If you want to join in on the conversation, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter, Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to Crow in San Francisco, listening on KNBR. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Hey, dude, this is my second time calling. The first time was after Ohio State got beat, and you were capping on them and calling the kids losers. And at the time, I said I only cared about beating Michigan. I didn't care about the BCS, or quite frankly, the Big Ten Championship. And as far as your questions go, I think it's time for Jim Harbaugh to find another line of work, because he can never win the big one. I mean, he just gets there, and I don't know whether it's failure of coaching, whether the guy's just hapless, but I was confident he was going to lose this game. I think it was probably the biggest loss of his career, and it wouldn't surprise me if sometime soon the Michigan Alumni Association shows up outside his door with torches and pitchforks. And by the way, I enjoy your show, listening to it. I like the sarcastic. And maybe Harbaugh should become your on-air partner, because he sure ain't much of a football coach.
All right. Well, thank you, Crow. Appreciate the conversation from KMBR out in San Francisco. Coaches today, you know, you look at Cliff Kingsbury, who's let go by Texas Tech, right? I think I read that earlier. Man, it's what have you done for me lately? It's not your name. It really isn't. You know, Jim Harbaugh was brought in to take Michigan back to championship glory. And that's a process that would be, you would own the rivalry with Ohio State, reclaim that, Michigan State, and now Notre Dame has been reintroduced to Michigan in a pretty good rivalry. They have three of them. And even Penn State, Michigan is good, in Penn State, Wisconsin, or Michigan, Wisconsin, along with Penn State. But you get paid to win. And Jim Harbaugh has had two opportunities in Columbus where going in, most thought that they had the better roster, 2016 and 2018. They blew it in 2016. They didn't blow it today. Ohio State owned that game start to finish. They were better prepared. They seemed to be more motivated. And their coaches outcoached Harbaugh and his staff. And Harbaugh needs to modernize his offense. He needs to upgrade his philosophy. You know, I've even watched Saban evolve at Alabama with Tua in a mobile quarterback. Not running as much, but he doesn't have to when he accounts for six TDs, as they just hammered Auburn in the Iron Bowl down in Alabama. But Jim Harbaugh, you know, Don Brown, boy, they just didn't, in their two biggest games of 2018, and I'm talking about Michigan football, they looked unprepared with an entire offseason when they faced Notre Dame in their opener, and in their regular season finale, they looked unprepared. That's on the coaches. I get players executing. I get their tight end, Zach Gentry, out of New Mexico, dropping three balls that really changed that game, at least an 11-point swing. I get it. You can put it on players. But it is up to coaches who make millions to make adjustments and also have game plans where they're not doing the same thing where Haskins, the Ohio State quarterback, said, I was licking my chops because I know they don't change and I know what they're going to run and we can tear that number one defense apart. And they did it. So many opponents have talked about how predictable Michigan was on offense and defense. And yes, they have some tough interior guys and linebackers who can knock the snot out of you, but can they cover a guy out of the backfield or a crossing route with somebody running a 4-4-1 or 4-3-9? Speed wins. Big boys up front, offensive line, defensive line, linebackers who can get to the ball, linebackers who can cover, safeties who can get to the quarterback, corners who can come off a blindside blitz and disrupt a play. The blueprint for success lies with Dabo and, most importantly, with Nick Saban and with Urban Meyer. You know, Urban has just run that spread, and why Harbaugh hasn't modernized his offense is beyond me, and it's the biggest reason why he hasn't been able to beat the big boys. And Don Brown today was massively outcoached to the point that Ohio State got to 62 on the number one defense in college football. But when you go inside the numbers and you look at the quality wins for Michigan, I get 10-2 is nice. I get a possible appearance in the Rose Bowl or a major New Year's Day bowl awaits them. But you look at the quality wins this year. Penn State at home. At Northwestern, where they trailed 17-0. That's it. That's her quality victories. You want to sit at the big boy table, you better get big boy wins on the road and at home if you're Michigan or any other college football program. I do want to thank Horowitz Graceffo, you, the radio audience across North America, 24/7. Stay in touch on Twitter at Saturday Huge.